You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Todd Gurley says he once dropped his phone in the toilet while he was doing his business.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I've done that. Thank God for salad tongs.
You know, we're really starting the show with bathroom humor. I feel like this is like 1974, and I'm at St. Ignatius College Prep with some other doofuses doing bathroom humor. Really?
The thing about salad tongs is you do then have to wash them in case you were going to grill and you were going to turn over, you know, steak or pork chops.
It's an all-time low. It's an all-time low.
They're really good. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, should Notre Dame stay in the ACC? Does Ohio State need to blow out Northwestern?
No.
And are we about to see the revenge of Freddie Kitchens? But we begin today with tonight's Thursday night game where the Raiders host the Chargers with what feels like the Raiders' season on the line. What started out so promising when the Raiders beat the Chiefs has turned into a slog. The Raiders have lost 3 of 4. They just fired defensive coordinator Paul Gunther, John Gruden's longtime friend. Wilbon, is tonight a must-win in Gruden's second go-round with the Raiders?
Well, Tony, if by must-win we're talking about big picture, like are they going to throw John out? No, they're not. But is he going to make something of this season and get to the playoffs and sort of take that step that justifies all the money the Raiders are paying him over whatever it is, like 10 years? Then, yeah, it's probably a must-win for that. Tony, you mentioned having lost 3 of 4. Tony, the one game they won, they got outplayed by the Jets, and they should have lost that game, which means they're essentially looking at being outplayed 4 consecutive games. So they need to get this turned around. If they don't get it turned around, they're just like all the others that are going home soon.
Yeah, so you look at the Raiders and you look at their offense, and their offense has improved. I've got a couple of numbers here. They've gone from number 28 to number 24 to 11 this year. You like the tight end, Waller. You like the running back, Jacobs. You like the quarterback, Carr. They're all having good years. The defense has been terrible, though. And Gruden may have fixed the offense over the 3 years there, but he hasn't fixed the defense. They're number 28 in points against. I mean, I look at this game, and I agree with you completely. It's not like John Gruden's job is on the line. But if you lose this particular game, then it sort of feels like you've plateaued and that you're just another sort of ordinary team with a sort of a fluky win. Now, I think they're going to win, and I think they have a path to the playoffs. I think if they beat Miami and then they get at Denver, you know, then you could see real great improvement because they went from 4-12, Mike, to 7-9. They got 7 wins already.
There's been
losing this game, I think it's deflating losing this game.
I would agree with you on that. And this is, you know, this is a real rival they're playing tonight. It's not just, you know, some other game. This is a team that they've had success against. It has been very triumphant in terms of the way it feels. And there's been some despair in certain losses. And, you know, both these franchises, Tony, have mostly come up short lately. I mean, neither one of them has had the kind of run in the last few years that you say, oh, wow, I can't wait to see fill in the blank, the Raiders. I can't wait to see fill in the blank, the Chargers. I think the Raiders should and will win this game. But, Tony, we've said that about the Raiders in various games over the past 6-7 years, right? And they lose mostly.
No, I don't think they've won a playoff game since 2002. I could be wrong on that. But it's a long time for them.
Yes.
It's a very long time. But, you know, the trajectory for Gruden, at least on offense, has been up.
Can I just add this? The Chargers, with their what used to be the baby blues, they've gone out and they've got this fraudulent blue. Just for TV, like some TV executive convinced them that the way the logo is slightly bolder. Either put on the baby blues or go back to some junk. No, don't do this halfway. These teams are so lazy now when it comes to it. Be committed.
I love this.
Some commitment.
I love working with Halston. I love that you do this about fashion. Good for you.
Notre Dame is less than 48 hours away from his first conference championship game of any kind. But should there be more? The Irish have delivered terrific ratings for NBC against schools like Duke, and especially Clemson, and outgoing ACC Commissioner John Swofford, get out, make room, says the arrangement has been a win-win. Tone, should Notre Dame football stay in the ACC?
Well, you know I love the Don Olmeyer quote that the answer to all your questions is money.
Mm-hmm.
And I assumed, Mike, until I learned differently today, I assumed that NBC was paying Notre Dame a bonanza. Then I found out it was $15 million.
Come on.
Yeah. I don't mean to laugh at $15 million, but the ACC pays all of its members $27 million for all sports. And even if you add the $7 million that Notre Dame gets from the ACC for non-football, they're making less money than Wake Forest, which is astonishing to me because they're Notre Dame. If Notre Dame doesn't do this, I'm thinking the only reason they wouldn't do it is sort of pride, like we're Notre Dame and we've never been in a conference. But Mike, if you're in a conference and you can win a conference championship, that's the easiest way into the college football playoffs.
Yeah, this story annoys me on a lot of levels. First of all, I'm laughing. I'm sorry. This is the only context in which I'm going to laugh at $15 million. Because you know how much the Big Ten teams get for turning the lights on? Try $52 million, all right? Now,
wow.
I'm not a math major, and neither are you, but that's a hell of a lot more than Notre Dame's getting. So that makes me happy. Actually, Tony, and the reason why this story annoys me on so many other levels is that you think if Notre Dame was in the Big Ten, where I'm happy not to have them, but where they should be geographically and in terms of mission and all that, you'd think an Ohio State-Notre Dame Big Ten championship game wouldn't get the same numbers or better than Clemson-Notre Dame? Of course they would. Notre Dame, as much as I like to act like I hate them, and I don't, it's like making fun of them. Tony, when Notre Dame shows up, they're going to get the rating. They may not get the money. Talk about, I mean, really, who negotiated that deal? But it doesn't matter who Notre Dame is with. They don't have to play in the ACC. They can be independent. They can make more money with better negotiating. And they can be in the Big Ten and make a whole hell of a lot more money because we print money in that conference.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking that maybe it had to do with geography, but, you know, that all the schools are Southeastern. But Pitt and BC and Syracuse are in the ACC. Look, if I were Notre Dame, Mike, this is what I would do. I'd go to NBC, and I would say, we're delivering better numbers than we ever have. We're giving you markets in Alabama and South Carolina that you never had. So we'll keep most of our ACC schedule, but you got to give us more money because we're the draw. That's what I would do.
But you know what? If you're the draw, then you don't need to deliver other people. What does Notre Dame care about the South? And we don't get regional here. Let's get real. Let's have real talk. Notre Dame doesn't give a damn about the South or the Southeast. They can make the money.
Stop for a second.
What?
You're already getting the Midwest if you're Notre Dame. If you add something you haven't had before, that's more bang for the buck. Let's move to a story that I'm calling a Wilbon special.
What?
It's about Northwestern being a sacrificial lamb. Ohio State DB Sean Wade is saying the Buckeyes not only have to beat Northwestern in the Big Ten title game on Saturday, but they have to beat Northwestern down. Wade said, quote, "We definitely have something to prove, like I'm telling my teammates, we have to blow them out." Wilbon, so Ohio State really have to blow you out?
That's how they should feel. That's how they should feel. They're playing for something enormous. They're playing for the right to be in the national semifinal. That's how they should feel. You know how I feel about this topic always in every sport. When people say, oh, my God, they should have taken a knee. No, make them take a knee. We got a team. We got guys on scholarship. We got some guys who are going to play on Sunday. Not as many as Ohio State, all right? But there have been a couple of games. You know, 2 years ago, Tony, that game was competitive against Ohio State in that same stadium. For three quarters, Ohio State pulled away in the fourth quarter. Ohio State's a better team on paper, no question. But that's why we played the games. If they feel they need to blow us out, it's up to us to go out there and say, no, you're not blowing us out. We're going to compete with you now. So I don't give a damn what Wade says or anybody else wearing
See, I think
Columbus
Ohio
colors.
State. Ohio State only has to win by one point. Northwestern
I
is a one-loss ranked team, a good team. You beat them by one point, you're then 6-0, and you're the Big Ten champs, and you're getting into the college
playoff.
Are
you sure?
I'm so tired of yes. And let me go through this, because I'm tired of you saying that football is simply a Southern sport, that the committee only wants Southern schools.
I just see it's a Southern
They've
sport.
Been
I'm
holding
saying
this
the committee
spot.
Wants that.
They have been holding this spot for Ohio State all season long. They're going to get a big 10 champion. And if Ohio State wins, they're going to get an undefeated Big Ten champion. 1 point is good enough, and they're in. Texas A&M is not keeping them out.
I agree with you. If Ohio State wins, they get that spot. I agree with you on that. I'm just saying, don't tell me the committee care. The committee needs Ohio State. Otherwise, they look like they've just rolled over. And they'd rather have four Southern teams, which is what they'd be fine with. Yeah, they'd be fine with that.
No, it's not.
I'm not defending this committee.
They want
you can defend what they did this week if you want. The committee embarrassed itself this week. So my point is,
we agreed on that.
Ohio State, if they win this game by whatever margin, I believe they will get in. Period.
Yeah,
but they should. I understand why Wade is saying what he's saying. I understand if Ohio State feels that way.
That's fine. There are two comparable schools that they played, and you're aware of this. This is why Ohio State is favored. They played Nebraska. They both played Nebraska, and they both played Michigan State. Ohio State beat Nebraska by 35 and Michigan State by 40, and Northwestern beat Nebraska by 8 and lost to Michigan State. That's why Ohio State's favored,
and
but I wish you luck.
And they should be.
I wish you luck.
Let's
take a break.
We can use it.
Coming up, the Seahawks got off to a fast start this season, but they're running into a better team in the Washington football team this weekend.
Man, Cam Newton faces Tua and the Dolphins this weekend. Which one would you rather have for this matchup? Toss-up is next. What percentage of Americans do you think could separate Washington from the other Washington? What percentage of Americans now?
I'm hoping 100%.
Oh, well, you'd be a fool. I'm going with
40. What do you think it is?
40%.
You think that 40%?
Part of the interruption is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. Part of Happy Hour.
Time for toss-up, where I play the role of heavily favored Ohio State and Wilbon plays the role of comically huge underdog Northwestern. What's first?
Toss-up, they play Sunday. Who you got, the Seahawks or the football team?
I think I've got Seattle. They're 3-1 in East Coast games so far this year, so they're not troubled by the trip. I'm anxious about the quarterback circumstance for Washington.
Yeah.
I'd feel more comfortable with Alex Smith than Dwayne Haskins. This is odd, Mike. This could be a preview of the first round of the playoffs. If Seattle stays as a wild card at number 5, they get to play the NFC East winner, which might very well be Washington. If I were Seattle, I'd rather play Washington, where home field means nothing, than have to play either the Rams or Tampa Bay. The way I look at the game is very simple. Can Washington's defense, which is now number 6 and improving all the time in terms of points scored, can they stop Russell Wilson? Wilson, this surprised me. It surprised me, Mike, to find out he's been sacked 40 times.
He's been sacked
a lot. I didn't know it was that many.
Listen, the Washington football team has won 4 straight, and they've won it on the strength of their defense, right? Only one of those teams figures to be a playoff team, and that would be Pittsburgh, but that was an unbelievably impressive win as far as I'm concerned for the Washington football team. I don't care if Pittsburgh has stumbled or not. But the question is, Tony, can Russell Wilson stay upright and be the Russell Wilson we saw in the first third of the season against that defense, which in this latest third of the season is wow. I mean, they have controlled action, particularly that front 7. I'm going to take the Washington football team at home to beat
Good for you. You're such a homer. That makes me happy.
Right.
Next.
Toss up. They play Sunday. Who would you rather have at quarterback, Cam or Tua?
So I love this matchup, but not for the quarterbacks. I love it for the coaches. Can a pup of Belichick beat Belichick? He didn't do it the first time around. I think New England just ran. They got 217 yards rushing, and they ran Miami out of the gym. This one, to me, Mike, feels like Miami's season. If they lose this, they're going to fall behind Baltimore for the wild card in the playoffs. If they win this, they can maybe get to the playoffs. It's a real big deal. In terms of the quarterbacks, Cam Newton can't pass. It's 16 games in a row that he's played where he's either got one or no touchdown passes. Do I like Tua? Yeah. Do I love him? No. And Belichick beats rookie quarterbacks 21-5 all time.
Well, there you have it. We can roll right to the commercial break now, all right? Because only one thing matters, that Belichick is 21-5 against rookie quarterbacks. And that's what Tua is, making his second start. It's against Belichick more than it is against Cam Newton. I keep waiting. I keep thinking, maybe I'm hoping more than, you know, can point to any analytics. But don't you think that Cam has one great game left in him this season? And maybe this
I'd like to see it.
One where he throws for 250 yards and also rushes for two touchdowns. He stays upright, grass stains free on the back of his jersey. I keep waiting for one of those. But more importantly, Belichick, 21-5 against neophytes.
Right. And a couple of weeks ago, he beat Justin Herbert, who we think is good, 45-0.
Zero.
Thank you and tip your waiter on the way out.
Yeah.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, Duke posts a win over Notre Dame. Are the Blue Devils back on track?
And is Freddie Kitchens ready to get his revenge on the Browns? I think I remember Freddie Kitchens. He a country singer? Yeah. Freddie Kitchens?
No.
Who was he?
No. But he had a short run on one of these teams.
Short run. All right.
Yeah.
You can refresh my memory during
we'll get
the break.
To that. We're going to get to that.
That's good.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Bullet Bourbon. Highly awarded high rye whiskey. Enjoy responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 22nd birthday, J.K. Dobbins. You may remember the Ravens rookie running back smashing through Browns safety Andrew Sendejo on a two-point conversion this past Monday night, sending Sendejo into concussion protocol. Dobbins tweeted snarkily about it, but quickly deleted the tweet and said he respected Sendejo. Dobbins was the first back ever at Ohio State to run for 1,000 or more yards as a freshman, sophomore, and junior. He left Columbus with more rushing yards than anybody but Archie Griffin. In 3 years, Dobbins scored 38 touchdowns, averaged more than 6 yards a carry. In his final college season, he had 2,003 yards on the ground. This year in Baltimore, he has 504 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns on a team that thinks run first. Dobbins, who was Baltimore's second-round draft pick, is the third leading rusher behind Lamar Jackson and Gus Edwards, and among them, they have 17 rushing touchdowns.
When you were in a paragraph out of Ohio State with Archie Griffin, Yeah. I mean, that sort of stands alone, does it not? And you know what? Baltimore, you know, your boy down in Tampa talking about their identity. They don't have an identity. Baltimore has an identity. You know what they want to do. They know what they're going to do. And the hell if you can stop them some nights. And Dobbins is now in that. He is in that program.
Yeah. Not so happy anniversary, Cleveland Browns fans. On this day 25 years ago, the Browns played what was supposed to be their final home game in Cleveland after owner Art Modell announced he was moving the team to Baltimore the following year. It was a devastating day for Browns fans who are famously rabid and loyal. As the clock wound down on the Browns' existence, fans began to grab seats and hurl them onto the playing field. They tore chunks out of the bleachers, started fires inside the stadium. That was the final event ever at Cleveland Municipal Stadium. After 58 years, it was demolished 11 months after the Browns left town. 4 years later, the NFL gave back the Browns in the form of an expansion team. Same uniforms, same helmets, same name, but a different owner, Al Lerner. There were lots of franchise relocation in the 90s. Houston Oilers went to Tennessee. Los Angeles Rams went to St. Louis. Los Angeles Raiders returned to Oakland. By the way, in this game, the Browns beat the Bengals 26-10 on their way to a 5-11 finish for a promising young coach named Belichick.
Tony, I went to a lot of games in that old Cleveland Stadium down on the lake where the new stadium is as well. And I was at games like the drive and the fumble. And so last week when the Browns lost that incredible game to Baltimore and people said, oh, it shows they're on their way up, I flinched. Like a lot of people who've been in Cleveland for those games, I thought to myself, oh my God, this is the way the Browns have lost games forever. I hope they can rise and get away from that, man. But games in that stadium, you were in that stadium a few times. Did that place not pulsate when they had 80,000 fans in there, especially
totally
in prime time?
Totally freezing and wonderful.
Oh, my God.
Happy trails to coaching Sunday night for Giants offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. Garrett has tested positive for the coronavirus, will not be available to call plays against the Cleveland Browns Sunday night. In a small and lovely irony, Giants tight ends coach Freddie Kitchens will call the plays. Kitchens, you'll remember, was head coach of the Browns last year, getting fired after finishing 6-10 in his only year as head coach. So the plot thickens, doesn't it? Kitchens got that job despite never having even been a coordinator because ownership felt he would be the one to guide Baker Mayfield to greatness. Mayfield actually regressed under Kitchens, but has made notable progress this season under Kitchens' replacement, Kevin Stefanski. Kitchens landed at the Giants because of his ties with Giants head coach Joe Judge. The two worked together at Mississippi State.
After an emotional and difficult loss, we talked earlier in this show about the Raiders coming back after playing Kansas City, and we thought, oh yeah, they're right there. And they just haven't been able to get up off the floor since.
The question
to me is similar about the Cleveland Browns coming off of this loss to the Baltimore Ravens that was spectacular. Everybody said, oh, it's the greatest game of the year, which it may be. How are they going to do? Aren't they in a sort of a need to absolutely win situation this week against the Giants?
You make a very good point. Make a very good point there. Let us go to the big finish
if we could.
This weekend's Maryland-Michigan State football game canceled due to COVID. Your thoughts?
It seems like, I mean, Maryland's played, I guess, five games. Seems like they played twice. You know, and they're a team that has really been victimized, one of many, this season by the goings-on of the pandemic. Henrik Lundqvist will miss the upcoming NHL season due to a heart condition. Is he a big loss for the York Cappies, Tone?
First, let's wish him luck. We don't know if he's a loss for the Capitals because he's never played for them.
There.
Their big loss was Braden Holtby, so we don't know. The Orlando Magic will allow 4,000 to attend home games to start the season. Does that make sense?
Do they always have more than 4,000 every night during the regular season and better times anyway? I don't know. Jay Wright beat Butler for his 600th win last night. You impressed?
He's a terrific coach. He's got two rings.
In
He's a great dresser.
Yeah.
He's a good fella.
Best dresser.
Last one, Duke beat Notre Dame last night. Back on track.
Man, let's not. We don't need to pronounce Duke back. When they're great again, we'll know it. Not yet.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.